TGI Friday on the Fun Astrology Podcast. Thomas Miller, thank you so much for spending this week with us. What a week it has been, and I think we've had a really cool week of episodes, and we're going to cap it off on a high note with Liz Grace Christie talking about actually the featured planet right now in the sky, Mercury, because Mercury is now about 24 hours out of shifting from retrograde to direct. We still have to get out of the shadow period. In other words, Mercury back to where it was before it turned retrograde, and that will be on May 13th if you're marking your calendar. So we've got a couple of more weeks, about three more weeks of shadow. But at least we're moving forward, and that's what matters. And with that, I wanted to bring back somebody who is on the funastrology.com website page under the readings category. She's been doing readings for some of you. She loves to feature the feminine side of the chart, the asteroid goddesses and mythology. And most importantly, she has her own unique and beautiful perspective on the world. She's a clothing designer. She's based in Portland, Oregon, and it's great to have her back. Liz Grace Christie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's been too long.
I know, but I also feel like it's been just the right amount of time.
You've been growing a lot, I know, since the last time we've spoken. And now that Mercury is basically out of retrograde, I know we have to catch up with shadow, but you've been studying Mercury, and I'm really curious some of the things that you've been learning.
Yeah, I'm a mercurial being. I'm a Gemini rising. And actually, my Mercury is conjunct the moon right now, which anyways, so full moon in Scorpio. Yeah, so Mercury has been on my mind a lot with this passing retrograde and then also the mercurial being that I am. I've been studying the archetype of Mercury within all the different cultures that I can. So Hindu, Greek, Roman, Egyptian, have you. But lately I learned the Hindu archetype with Mercury, which is actually Buddha, which is B-U-D-H-A. And what I found fascinating about learning about Buddha is that Buddha is the son of Chandra, who is the moon god. And as we know, Chandra, the moon, has a lot to do with cycles, and so does Mercury. So we just had our Mercury retrograde, which is typically a time of reflection. I know also it can make our electronics act up, people's plans change around and whatnot. And I feel like this is a symptom of a cycle that is begging us to reflect. And one thing I really appreciated about like the Hindu cosmology and their whole god and goddesses is that when they speak of Buddha, Mercury, they really emphasize like this mystic path within him, in the sense that he respects, or they rather, because it's an androgynous being, they respect the mundane enough to basically manifest higher dimensions of reality, or to like create magic in the mundane. So I know in Western society, we really like looking at Mercury as a trickster spirit, which is true. And I really kind of feel like that's just one dimension of Mercury. We also know that Mercury is like akin to Loki and like Celtic mythology and whatnot. And that really emphasizes that trickster energy. But when we look to Hinduism, we see them also speaking about how Mercury really is like this boundary. They like link it to skin. And they also say that Mercury and Saturn work together. It's not that if they're like side by side, it can be a little problematic, because I think it's almost like too much intensity of being analytical. However, Mercury does respect boundaries. And I think when we remember that when we exercise healthy boundaries, we're able to achieve a lot more. So if we go to sleep on time and wake up at a consistent time, typically we're able to achieve a lot more things throughout the day, and our bodies are able to respond in a cyclical manner that is healthy. So we're like releasing endorphins or chemicals or secretions throughout the day that are helpful and in accordance with the sun and whatnot. So we think about Mercury in Western society, and when we go through these Mercury retrogrades and we go through the static, that's one side of the coin. However, it's like maybe we should slow down and respect the pattern that's going on in the cycle, such as like when we respect full moons, or it's not like we should. Full moons have a funny way of just kind of making us have a lunacy experience, more high activity. But let's start paying attention to these cycles of Mercury, or just like planets in general, because there's a lot we can learn. And I really have been gaining a lot from just like diving into the archetype of Mercury and taking in these last couple of weeks with this Mercury retrograde, because I've had so many silly things happen. Like both of my cats got sick, my shower and my drain got super clogged, and just knowing the symbolism of Mercury now and just like breathing with like my rest and knowing that like this is just part of the flow and cycle of like what's going on, because what can we gain from slowing down and taking care of the mundane? Well, now my drain runs way better. My cats and I have like gained a lot more trust with each other, and I know that they're a lot healthier, so I can like go on into my summer knowing that they're going to be healthy and taken care of. So it's just little mundane things do end up adding up into being magic.
What a great perspective on this. You were talking about Mercury as the trickster.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the cousin of that is Mercury as a trigger planet.
Yeah, totally.
So just a lot like, of these things you were talking about, yeah, the trigger, and yet Virgo, I love Steve Forrest, you can always tell the Virgos because their sock drawer is organized, you know, or their garage is perfect kind of thing. There's that structure and that organization that is so opposite, if you will, from the trickster trigger side of Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite a contrast.
Yeah. And but it's also like Mercury or Gemini, or rather just this mercurial energy, has kind of this oscillating duality going between it. I kind of feel like all the mutable signs have a bit of this like duality concept going on. However, just like with the being that is Mercury, I feel like you can't really separate the fact that there's kind of this dual energy going on. For example, like Buddha in the Hinduism is cursed with being androgynous because Chandra basically conceived Buddha from wedlock, so like not within marriage. And so there's kind of like this proving of self story going on with Mercury, sus Buddha. And you also get that in the Greek pantheon with Mercury being also basically a child born from Zeus that wasn't planned. So there's like a redemption quality also within the Mercury story. And I think it's because you're kind of navigating between, like, you could look at it like navigating between the trickster or like the trigger, and then like how you react and how you like manifest with that. You can maybe even see it as kind of like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation, or like that, or even like the angel and devil on your shoulder situation. I just feel like there's so much power and potency that we can learn from the archetype of Mercury that I could literally just go on forever about this.
What are some main takeaways? How can we really harness this for ourselves?
I think it's like this concept of like a healthy Mercury. So we can like look in our natal chart and see if our Mercury has any hard angles. So like a square, even a conjunction could be considered that in some ways, just because it can be so high octave intensity, like having to learn how to navigate with this like heavy mental energy. Like, for example, I have Mercury conjunct Pluto in my chart. So I feel like I'm a person that's very like diving deep constantly, even if I'm unaware of it. So even as a child, I'm sure I was like hyper analyzing things, and I've now grown to realize in my older age, like methods to kind of like work with my mind so it's not using me. So how do we, yeah, with that being said, like looking in your natal chart, like how is your Mercury communicating with you so that you can like use it intentionally? So if you do have an afflicted Mercury within a hard aspect, like it's not necessarily afflicted or a negative thing. You can empower yourself by understanding like, oh, my Mercury is squaring Venus, so I have a hard time articulating my desires. And now that I'm aware of that, I can challenge myself to be more forward with that, for example. And you will be rewarded because you're overcoming that square. And that's part of your challenge in this life. And that's why you're the natal chart is reflecting that. So there's going to be a strength to gain in that. Some people might have a trine to their Mercury, so they're kind of getting messages so quickly that they're not even consciously comprehending it. So you could see that you have a trine and then be like, oh, maybe I'm very intuitive. Like, let's say you have Mercury trine Mars in Cancer or something, you know, that's going to say, whoa, I have a lunar element to my Mercury and I didn't even realize because it's so subconscious that I'm a channel. You know, so I feel like empowering ourselves to just understand how our Mercuries are working and interacting with our charts is going to be helpful to harness it, because as Mercury is the trickster or the trigger, it's also representative kind of our, like, to me, our avatar or our like role play character in a video game. So it's our player. It's how we're going to like go out in the game and kind of like strategize and get things done. So how can we empower our essential like avatar, our video character or video game character to win the game, whatever winning the game is, which is life.
Now, these are great analogies, and especially coming off of this Mercury retrograde, so appropriate to be thinking about. Now, how are we going to go through this Mercury direct period using both sides of the channel?
Yeah. So now that we're coming out of this reflection period, definitely look at your natal chart. And then you can also track with where Mercury is in the transits and how that's going to be influencing all the points and stars and whatnot in your chart. And I also just feel like I was going off about all the archetypes of Mercury, just having fun with like learning where that Mercury is in the sky and how that's like gonna translate with these archetypes. So we're getting out of this Aries Mercury experience and we're gonna be moving into Taurus. We're moving from a more Martian kind of like me energy. So I hope in these last couple of weeks we've been taking the time to like nurture our bodies and our own impulses, but also learning from how our impulses are perhaps getting us into situations that we don't want. Or on that other coin, maybe situations that we do want, because I do think as much as Mercury retrograde can suggest there being a negative thing going on, for those of us taking the time to reflect, we could see that we're going to get propelled into Venusian, Venus things with this Mercury mind. So I feel like there's going to be a lot more, we're going to be able to articulate what we've learned a lot easier to help us gain these material things in Taurus. Doesn't have to be shallow material things. It could be now we're actually just seeing the building blocks of what we were coming up with as we were reflecting on ourselves and our impulses. So I think we're going to start seeing people creating things quite literally in the material more often. We're going to see things being released finally. Yes, because Mercury retrograde is over, but now we actually can put Taurian our hands to the ground, into the dirt, and make some material stuff happen.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. And if you would like to hear more, even about your own chart, Liz is on our readers list on funastrology.com, and you're still booking readings, yeah?
Yes, I am.
And how do people get a hold of you? Other than going to Fun Astrology, they can get the contact information there, but...
Yeah, you can visit my website, so galacticmythology.com. And I recently started an Instagram, so you can find me on there as well, Galactic Mythology. And I'm Liz Grace, so that's how you can also find me on the internet. I make clothes. If you want to specifically see the fashion that I create, it's Liz with two Z's, L-I-Z-Z, and then Grace, G-R-A-C-E, followed by the word design, and that's .com.
You know, I love that you are so wonderfully self-expressed and you put that out into the world.
I can't help it. I would be bored, and that's no good for a Sagittarius.
Y'all go
Gemini
check out
rising.
Go check out what she's about. She is just a precious, precious friend. Friend of this podcast, friend certainly of me, and I just love you to pieces, and thanks for stopping by to talk about Mercury.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I love Mercury. Shout out to you out there in the sky.
Merriman tomorrow, level up on Sunday, and beginning next week on Monday, we actually have some stuff in the sky to talk about again, but we will be doing this again in the future. This was fun. Thanks to our three ladies who helped us out this week. That was awesome. Guys, have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you back on one of those stops along the way back here to Monday. Bye-bye.